Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. That's what I get from multitasking. I got caught reading my email as the music was starting. And I'm like, where am I? What am I doing? Welcome to reality, Allison. And welcome to the fact that you're live and you are talking today with friends. And I hope that you will consider talking back with me today at 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. Well, don't talk back at me. I have teenagers for that. Just talk with me. That'd be fantastic. We are going to be talking today about undoing knots of both grief and loss and envy and pride. Those are the two places that I really connected to in this book, Our Lady Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena, A Guided Meditation from the Holy Land from Marge Fenelon, who will be my guest tomorrow live 10 a.m. right here on Seeking Heart. In this fabulous book, this Living Novena is out from Ave Maria Press, and I'm going to explain what a Living Novena is in just a few minutes. First, I just wanted to kind of just give a shout out to Thursday. It's like one of those days where I'm happy that it's Thursday because that means tomorrow's Friday and the weekend's right around the corner. But I'm sad this Thursday because this has been school vacation week and Faithy has been home and I have loved having her around. And I got to be completely honest, having Faithy home from school means that Allison doesn't have to get up at 5:30 in the morning and get her on the bus for 6, which is a delightful thing. I'm a night owl. And even though she started school 2 years ago and I've been done pretty well switching my night owlness while she's in school, I have to say I really do love the night hours. I love how quiet it is. I know it's just as quiet in the morning, but I just feel more awake. Of course, it didn't hurt last night that my friend Alice and I went out for dinner and we went to Starbucks on the way home. So like 6:30 at night, I had a Starbucks, which is like Dunkin' Donuts on steroids. It was way more caffeine. And I get a medium. I don't know. Sometimes I just forget my. And I had a soda with dinner. And we went to Red Robin. Every time I say that, I have to say yum afterwards. They have gluten-free buns now, which is always nice when you can find a gluten-free bun somewhere. It's funny, you know, the menu has a whole new feel to me as it you know, with my dairy-free, gluten-free, barely what's there left to eat kind of diet. You gotta have to look at it like an adventure, which I do. I don't let it get me down. I look at it as an adventure and I get to eat all kinds of new stuff after so many years of eating the same things. I now get adventures in food when I sit down at a restaurant and it's good. It is a good thing. So hello Thursday. Thrilled that the weekend is right around the corner, but sad to see Faithy and 5:30 come back. Sad to see Faithy go out to school and for the 5:30 wake-ups to come back, enjoying my night owl life. So I'm also getting a lot done because I gave up television for Lent. I know you're supposed to do this stuff in private, not tell anybody what you're up to, but hey, we're friends. I can do this. I tell my friends what I'm up to, and it's because we encourage each other. You know, we encourage each other on this journey, our Lenten journeys. I just this morning received we call those things instant message from the Silversmith Collective, silversmithcollective.com. They're out in Canada. And I'm so glad he reminded me that they're there and to share them with you because they sent me a video. It was called Lent Fails, hashtag Lent Fails. And it was very funny. I'll leave for you to go see again, Silversmith Collective. Of course, I'll have the link in the show notes. But it just reminded me of what all of us as Catholics go through during Lent. We feel like we're failing, you know, that day you wake up on Ash Wednesday and forget that it's Ash Wednesday and you make yourself a nice bacon and eggs breakfast, or you have your nice meatball sub, or for me, I'm always asking questions. Come on, you've got to have done this yourself. Like that question, does chicken broth count? Does chicken broth count? Or it's imitation bacon bits. So it, you know, I can sprinkle these on my salad. This totally can't count. But I would love to know how your Lent is going. How, you know, you don't have to be specific if you want to be somebody who keeps that close to your chest. But I have given up television, and I do it every year. I've done it for many, many years. I usually end up losing about 7 pounds because I don't realize how much I eat while I'm watching television. And I also get a lot accomplished. You know, my dream is to have an administrative assistant. It's just my dream that the Lord will someday increase my income to a point where I can actually hire somebody to help me out. But in the meantime, giving up television was a brilliant idea because it allows me this extra time to accomplish stuff. So my blog, I've been reconciledtoyou.com. I've been keeping up my blog for the entire Lent. I can't believe I blogged every day. I've never done that. And I've enjoyed it too. It's been really fun. Today up there is the Small Success Thursday that I link up with over at catholicmom.com. I like this one because you just get to share 3 quick things that went well during the last week. It's a quick write, and it can be a pretty humorous. I mean, I try to make it pretty humorous. I also put there the video of Kevin and I, what we did Sunday morning when it was -8 degrees outside. He had seen on some science show, because he watches Science Channel and History Channel, he's pretty much, and I watch the sports, so no stereotypes, no gender stereotypes in this family. So he's watching the science, and they took a cup of boiling hot water and threw it into the sub-zero air, and like it just, it's really cool. What happens? Well, my husband thought that since that was really cool for a cup of water, that a bucket of water, a pan full of water would be even cooler. Yeah, it was cool, all right. You'll have to go over to reconciledtoyou.com and click on the blog to see what I mean. This is February 18th, in case you're listening on the podcast later on and you're thinking, what day? Just go to my blog. There's a search there and just do Small Success or Lent Week 2. Actually, Lent Week 2 is where you'll find the video of me and Kevin at like very wee hours of the morning playing outside in the snow. Well, it's not the snow, but the sub-zero temperatures. We were just crazy. And this weather is crazy. I love New England. I really feel like I've been placed in the right place. I don't know where you live, if you feel like that God put you exactly where you need to be. But on Sunday, the temperatures were so dangerous, you couldn't be outside for more than 10 minutes. You risked frostbite. And of course, Kevin and I were able to play with boiling hot water and evaporation or condensation or whatever the fancy scientific word is. You can tell I didn't spend a whole lot of time in science class focused and or paying attention. But yesterday, Wednesday, just 5 days later, I was able to take a walk outside, do my rosary walk again, get around the yard, which was fantastic. No more snow. But there was, I almost could have done it without a coat. That's how warm it was yesterday. It's fabulous. I love New England. I do. If you've never been here, I highly recommend coming and visiting sometime. The fall is definitely the best time to come to New England. It's beautiful with all the foliage. But if you ever want to experience the change of seasons, just, we have them like weekly. In 1 week, you can experience the change of seasons here in New England. Too funny. If you want to share anything today with me, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4, how your Lent is going, what you do when it's freezing cold outside, a website that you found or somebody that you're following that you want to share with me. Love to know about new websites and new apps or whatever's helping you through this Lent. I love the app Lent Sanity. Yeah, I'm not saying that right because it's a big word. I hate big words. And I should do it because I like putting words and making new ones. So this one shouldn't be hard. So it's Lent and Sanity together, Lent Sanity. And it's out from Focus Ministries. And I'll have the link to it. And it has this great option on it called the meat police, and they can send you a message on Fridays to remind you not to eat meat. it's great. Plus they have reflections and things that, you know, I think getting through Lent is wonderful when we come together. So many people, I'm excited this year, stayed on social media. As you know, I wrote that piece just before Lent began and begging people, please, please, please don't leave social media. And I was so excited to see how many people didn't. For me, I'm doing the Daughters of St. Paul, Pauline Books and Media, have a Mercy Lenten retreat and a mini online retreat. And I have the link up for that as well. It's actually blessed to be a part of writing for it. So I've really enjoyed reading other people's reflections in there. So each day they email it to you. The Daughters of St. Paul, again, the seven qualities of mercy. You can, I'll put the link up there because I can't remember the exact. You go to pauline.org and you can find, that's a best place to find that. And then on Saturday, we'll launch the Catholic Conference for Moms, CC4moms.com. You can go to reconciledto.com and the link is right there in the front page when you open it. And that's going to launch on Saturday. There will be a live stream with Jennifer Fulweiler out at the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference in Ohio. And then we'll all pray together at 3 o'clock, the Divine Mercy, which is also pretty amazing. I can't wait for that experience. But then the videos are yours to watch from now until Lent. The registration is only $14.99, but if you use the code RECONCILED, you get $4 off. There's also an electronic swag bag with coupons and special print downloadables and things that I think you'll really enjoy as well. So Catholic Conference for Moms, go over to reconciledto.com. You can just follow the link over there. It's the easiest way to get there. Use the coupon code RECONCILED and get your $4 off the already low price, over 20 presentations. I'm also blessed to be part of that, talking about my favorite thing in the world, reconciliation, the sacrament of reconciliation. When we come back, we're going to look at Our Lady Undoer of Knots, and we're going to look at the knots of envy and grief. Not together, though. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are going to be discussing today Our Lady Undoer of Knots, a living novena, a guided meditation from the Holy Land for Marge Finnellan. I hope I'm saying that wrong, right? So I hope I'm saying that wrong. That's nice, Allison. And she is from Ave Maria Press. This book is not her, but the book is from Ave Maria Press. It's a phenomenal book. And what is a living novena? Well, let's look at the front of the book again, just to remind you how to pray a living novena. So this book offers, Marge writes, a unique kind of prayer experience, a living novena, or a kind of extended guided meditation. By reading one chapter of the book each day, you will be able to experience a kind of armchair pilgrimage, which following the journeys of Pope Francis and herself, Marge, and listening to the Holy Father's words at a starting point for your own reflection. Sorry about that. Each day, as we examine one of these holy places, the physical landscape of the Holy Land and the historical and scriptural accounts of the life of Jesus and Mary will guide you to think about the knots of your interior landscape. Then we will petition Our Lady in these beautiful prayers that Marge wrote. I love them. They're so beautiful. And we will be looking, she writes, at the knots of our lives about injustice, separation, confusion, hopelessness, grief, and sorrow, discord, betrayal, envy and pride, and affliction. By releasing these knots, Marge continues, into her hands, we'll begin working towards the peace for which we all long in our own lives and in the world. And at the end of each chapter, there's questions for meditation, which of course, you know how much I love questions for meditation. I would love to see a group do this together, either online, virtually, or together. Perhaps I will start that virtually on my website. Maybe we could do that as a blog thing together. Let's write this down. So virtual novena together. I don't know if anyone has any ideas. I'm open to them. I think that it would be wonderful to pray this together and to, so you do you read the book. I told you that how I did it is I read the book, the reflections, and then I did the prayer. Then I took my rosary beads and headed outside and did my rosary walk and prayed the rosary while I'm walking. I like to walk my yard for several reasons. One, this and foremost, it's the safest. I live on a very busy roads, surrounded by very busy roads, and people drive incredibly quick, and it's scary. So I prefer being able to jump off the road and into my yard into safety when I can. And I like to be nearby the house, especially when the kids are home, or, you know, sometimes you just don't want to be far away. You just want to be nearby. So I like being home. And I'm kind of a chicken, so I like the safety of being near my home as well. I live in a very rural area, and I don't really like walking when there's no houses or people around. It's just not safe, not prudent. So that's why I do it. But I think the Lord had so many more reasons for me to do it, why he kicked my butt outside and made me walk while I prayed the rosary. It started with the 54-day rosary novena when I started to see the fidelity trucks. Today, by the way, this was pretty neat. So I was praying a novena to Our Lady. I wasn't. I was praying to Saint Therese of the Lisieux. There's this 5-day novena. I know, only I could find a shortcut. Hey, squirrel girl, how about a shortcut to a 9-day prayer? Yes, thank you. This card with this prayer on it, which I just put on Instagram last week, actually, was given to me by a friend's mom. And you pray it before 11 a.m. and you pray the short prayer, and then you do 5 Hail Fathers, 5 Hail Marys, 5 Glory Bees for 4 days. And on the 5th day, you do the first set of Our Fathers, Hail Marys, and Glory Bees, and then you do a second set. Well, I had kind of fallen asleep during, I got up this morning and I was praying, and then I kind of nodded back off because I was up really, really late. And so just to be sure that I was covered, I plopped myself down on the couch and I was looking out the window, which I never sit that way. And it was 9 o'clock in the morning and I'm praying the second set of Our Father's Hail Marys and Glory Bees just to make sure everything's set. And what went by but the fidelity truck. I've never seen it that early. It was just crazy how that happened. So maybe my treks are crazy and maybe looking for signs is insane. But you know what? I don't think so. I've decided that looking for signs, it's biblical. I mean, I have to be careful. I can't make decisions. I can't say, oh, Lord, should I play the lottery? And then, you know, if I see a butterfly or a rose or a fidelity truck, run out and know that I'm supposed to, I don't know. Or that's probably not a good one. How about like, Lord, am I supposed to leave my family and move to Timbuktu? Like, if I see those signs, I'm probably not being called to do that. But I like signs just to give me comfort and peace, just a little bit of hope. Sometimes when I'm really struggling, the Lord knows my brain. He knows that I need a tangible world and this intangible world because I'm weak. And so I'm kind of excited that the truck went by during the end of that prayer. And I do pray that the Lord, it is in his will to bring about what we have prayed for. If not, I know that he'll give me the peace to accept the other outcome, which would be not to get what I prayed for. He's good. He's a good and loving God. He never leaves me hanging. He's either going to say yes or he's going to say no, or he's going to say not yet. But he will always say, but here's some peace until it happens, or here's some peace for you to accept that it's not going to happen. And while I prefer to get what I've asked for, I'm okay with the peace. So that's what a living novena is. It's praying the book. It's reading the book, it's saying the prayers, it's reciting the rosary, and then reflecting on those wonderful questions. So after I finished my walk, I would come in and reflect on the questions and, of course, journal them because that's what I do. I love to write. I think writing things down really helps me to connect and kind of work through my thoughts. Sometimes they can get kind of muddled up in my head, but writing them down helps me to work it through. So on day two of praying this novena, I headed outside. And I was doing my walk around the yard. And I don't really pay too much attention to the cars going by, just enough to get out of their way and not be hit by one of them. But I don't really pay attention to the kind of car it is or anything, you know, about the car. except for this day. So I'm walking and they come around. You know, if you understand, like I have a road on my right and a road on my left. I walk my backyard, like the grass area of my backyard that connects the two roads. Yes, I live on a fork in the road. And then the front of my house happens to be a driveway that connects one road to the other. So I think the timing of this story is what's so important, because I can't make this stuff happen. Like, you know, coming around the corner and seeing the Fidelity truck. I can't time this stuff. That's why I feel so strongly that this is God sending them to me. So this day I'm outside, I'm praying. I come around the front of my yard and I'm heading like towards the more wooded area neighborhood. And a car goes by and I'm praying and don't normally look up. But this day, my attention was, it's like this nudge of the spirit to look up. And the license plate on the car going by, I kid you not, was KNOT5. It was not 5. Okay, I had prayed. I'd done this 54-day rosary novena. I had walked around my house for 54 days. Not once had I seen this car go by or this license plate. But on this day, as I'm praying the Undoer of Knots novena with this book, there it was, not 5. Well, I have to tell you that I ran into the house to get the book to find out what not 5 was. And I was so hopeful that it was something like, you know, how to get out of debt or release your debt not, or what, just anything but what showed up. I would have accepted anything but what was actually not 5. And it was the knots of grief and loss. We know that I deal with anxiety. And at that point, I was really struggling with anxiety. I just had just found medication that Feminescence to kind of help me with the increase of anxiety that the menopause was bringing on. But when I read grief and loss, it sent me. I was like, Lord, I can't deal with this. I don't want to lose anybody. I can't handle. Now, this was before my father-in-law died. This was before we lost Brett to suicide. It was, you know, not too long before those, but it was definitely well timed to prepare my heart for what was to come. And I did not like it. That day, I have to be honest, that day, as I read I can't wait, I have to read this chapter. As I read the chapter and reflected on the questions, I felt like the lesson for me that particular day was that loss isn't always the death of somebody. Sometimes it's the death of a memory or a dream. For me, that day, I thought about some of my past memories that I've been holding on to, some of the past mistakes I've made, some of the traumatic things that have happened to me. And I had to grieve those things. I had to grieve the dreams I had had. I had to grieve the innocence that was lost. I had to grieve and deal with all of that. And that's what came from that moment of seeing not 5 as I walked outside. So crazy, the stuff that happens. But I don't think it just happens to me because it's me. I think it happens because I'm open to it. Like all the time, oftentimes when I'm praying and I say, Lord, why are you revealing this to me? And I feel like the Lord says, because you're open to see it. Because you're willing to believe. Blessed are those who believe what has been spoken to them. But it's, well, blessed is she, but I'm adding my own, of course, interpretation of the Bible, because that's what I do. Ask and you will receive. Knock and you will be opened. Seek and you will find. God doesn't make these promises and then not fulfill them. Believing you will see. These are all scriptural passages that I pretty much hold on pretty tightly to. I believe that what God says will be. I believe that if I seek, I will find. I believe that I will receive, because I do believe that God is trying to communicate with me and that he's always communicating with me, but I'm the one who closes him off. But when I open up my heart and look for the God moments in the world, they're abundant. They're truly, truly abundant. And I hope that you find yours as well. If you want to share it, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. We'll pick up on the other side of these messages with more of Our Lady, Undoer of Knots. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please don't go away.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. We are journeying this week with the wonderful book by Marge Fenelon from Ave Maria Press, Our Lady, Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena, A Guided Meditation from the Holy Land. I was sharing about how I was taking a walk when I was praying this book back in, 22 weeks ago, whenever that was. Instagram told me it was 22 weeks ago. And I think it was like June. I want to say it was June-ish. And I was walking. And just going by was this car, the license plate, KNOT5, not 5. Crazy, crazy stuff. I've never seen it again, by the way, either. And I'm still out there walking, not every day, because now it's winter and I'm in New England and sometimes I can't get through the snow and the ice. But when I can, like yesterday, I was out there, but I didn't see it. I didn't see the license plate. I'm going to be on the lookout, I think. Maybe it's just not looking. But maybe I don't need to see it, so it isn't important anymore that I see it. But that time, I felt like the Lord just called me to grieve some of the things in my life that I had been holding on to, which were keeping me from progressing spiritually and even in emotionally and physically as well, like my health. So I feel like there was a great healing in that moment. But now, these months later, the grief and loss knot is something completely different. My beloved, sweet, darling father-in-law passed away October 31st. And then my son's very best friend and one of my students back when I was a preschool teacher, Brett Plude, he took his life. He died by suicide. And I hate the expression, took his life. He lost his battle with depression, we should say. But the Lord, I know, is merciful. And as my son Adam said, my wise 16-year-old son said, but now I know, Mom, he's no longer in the pain that he was in. And it's been a really difficult journey. You know, knowing that he was depressed and praying like crazy for him and, you know, feeling now like, oh, I could have prayed more. What more could we have done? You know, there's always that grief that, especially when it's a death, you know, by suicide, when people think, you know, we knew, what could we have done? How could we have prevented it? And knowing that really you did everything you could and accepting that, but there's still that heartache, you know, there's still that grieving process. So now going back to chapter 5, day 5, the knots of grief and loss, things are very different. So I wanted to share this chapter with you because it's so beautiful. And Marge really gives some great, and not advice, but encouragement in the grieving process, you know. She shares Pope Francis's words. Every chapter starts with Pope Francis's words. Dear young people, let us entrust ourselves to Jesus. Let us give ourselves over to him. This could say dear young and old people. Let us entrust ourselves to Jesus. Let us give ourselves over to him because he never disappoints anyone! Exclamation point. Only in Christ crucified and risen can we find salvation and redemption. I'm going to stop here for just a second because I just learned the other day in deacon school the difference between redemption and salvation. Very often I'll be asked, do you consider yourself saved or are you saved? And my answer I just learned should be, I'm redeemed. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior and by his blood, he has redeemed me. I now have a possibility of heaven. Heaven is open to me and I have an opportunity to spend eternity there, but it's not guaranteed to me. There's not a prayer I can say or a decision I can make that makes salvation guaranteed. The only thing that guarantees it is that I continue to love Christ, to follow the commandments, to open my heart to him, to live a righteous life, and to continue to rely on his mercy and goodness for my salvation. But I am redeemed, and I love that the understanding finally, the difference, and being open to understand that Jesus redeemed me, And I pray with all my heart that he saves me. And I believe that he wants to. He's merciful. He's loving. He's kind. He doesn't want to see anybody condemned. But I also have free will. So there's no way that I can have this gift of free will and still not be at risk of not being saved, because I have decisions to make every day, and those decisions have consequences. There's just, it doesn't make any sense. There's nothing scripturally, there's nothing traditionally, and there's nothing in my heart as I pray that says, you know, I can say this prayer and I'm safe. I don't ever want to think I'm safe. Maybe I am, but for me, that seems like a dangerous road to take. I prefer to err on the side of caution and spend my life getting to know Jesus better, grateful for the redemption, and in awe of him, of course, and always seeking to know him better, to seeking to follow him better, and to allow him to move in my heart so that I am saved when that time comes. So she goes on to write, well, actually, she's quoting Pope Francis. With him, evil, suffering, and death do not have the last word, because he gives us hope and life. He has transformed the cross from being an instrument of hate, defeat, and death to being a sign of love, victory, and triumph, and life. I may have added that life, that add an and there. She goes on to say, when we're grieving over loss, we can feel like the psalmist. And this is from Psalm 13, 2 through 5. How long, Lord, will you utterly forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I carry sorrow in my soul, grief in my heart day after day? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look upon me, answer me, Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, lest I sleep in death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed. Lest my foes rejoice at my downfall. I love praying the Psalms as an aside, as an FYI. If there's something that you're looking this Lent to grow in prayer and to, you know, connect with God in a deeper and new way, can I recommend praying the Psalms? They are a really beautiful way of entering into prayer with God. And also, if you haven't yet ever prayed the Liturgy of the Hours, there's some great apps out there. I use iBreviary. My husband, as he prepares for the diaconate, he has started to pray the morning and the evening prayer. They're called the Hinge Prayers. Well, we get up way too early, and there's not enough time to pray the morning prayer together, but we have begun to pray the evening prayer together. Again, we use the iBreviary. There's a website, many apps. Laudate is another one. It's L-A-U-D-A-T-E. But I like iBreviary. It's very simple to follow. You just scroll down, because the book to use to pray the Liturgy of the Hours can be kind of confusing. They taught us in deacon school, but I couldn't catch on. So I use an app. It's another way. It's that we pray the Psalms in there. And it's another way of going deeper in prayer, connecting with Christ. I love that the Liturgy of the Hours is the prayer not only of the church, but for the church. You can say it the other way too. It's not just for the church, it's of the church. But I love that it's prayed by all priests, all religious together, not all exact the same exact time, but there's just always somebody in prayer for the church, and it's a prayer of the church. It's beautiful, and it's liturgy. So there you go. Praying liturgy is just a celebration of our faith together. We have liturgy of the word and mass, and we're just so blessed to have these traditions and I overuse the word beautiful. I know, if like my show was a drinking game, just pick the word beautiful and you'd win. Drinking Kool-Aid, of course. We're going to look back quickly to Our Lady, Undoer of Knots, a living novena, a guided meditation from the Holy Land. Marge Fenelon, and this is out from Ave Maria Press. Don't miss Marge here tomorrow live, 10 a.m. If you've got any questions for her, write them down and write down this number, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. Or you can send them over to me, email at allison@breadboxmedia.com. That's Allison, A-L-L-I-S-O-N. I always tell people when they ask me to spell it, all is on. at breadboxmedia.com. All is on at breadboxmedia.com. Hey, that sounds like a great slogan. I may have to work with that one. As we go through this grief and loss chapter, the knots of grief and loss, Marge shares her experience in the Holy Land. And I'm going to leave that for you to read because it's just, the imagery is too beautiful. I can't do justice to it. I need you to read that on your own. Then we get the view of our own landscape. So with comfort in time of loss. You know, people, she writes, who mean well can also do or say things that can add to your pain, like cheer up, you can have another baby, or he's in a better place, so don't worry. Now you can get on with your life instead of having to care for him or her. And each one of these situations I've been in, I've had two miscarriages. One was an ectopic, nearly took my life, and it was a very traumatic time. And yes, I already had a baby, and he was a beautiful little baby, but I wanted more, and I wanted that baby that I had conceived and gotten to, you know, started to pray for and couldn't wait to meet. And now I have to wait to meet him or her, and I hope that I do someday in heaven. You know, I just said it myself, that my son said that Brett's in a better place now, but that's not exactly how he put it. He just feels that perhaps now he's no longer in that pain and that suffering that he was going through, but it doesn't make you feel any better when you're in that moment. But she says to turn to Our Lady, who suffered loss and she experienced grief. She understands our pain. She walked the Via Dolorosa, that's the Trail of Sorrows, with our Lord, feeling each excruciating blow, flesh-tearing lash, and bone-bruising tremble. When the thorns broke through Jesus' skull, she felt it with him. When the nails pierced his holy hands and feet, she winced and cried out. She stood at the foot of the cross, agonizing with her son, in the weight of all the loss and grief of all humanity pressing on her heart. She cradled his dead body in her arms. She, of all people, understands our loss and grief. This is just beautiful. Marge could have said that better myself. We do know that we have our Blessed Mother to lean on. When we come back, we're going to look at how to lean on her in times of envy. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are journeying this week with the wonderful book by Marge Fenelon from Ave Maria Press, Our Lady Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena, A Guided Meditation from the Holy Land. And we have been talking about grief and loss, and now we're going to talk about envy. Yes, envy. So I went to the Defending the Faith conference a couple summers ago, and Jeff Cavins came out to start his talk, and he's going to talk about envy. And I thought, yeah, I should probably go take a walk because I don't have any problem with envy. Maybe a little jealousy now and then, but definitely not envy. I was too lazy, by the way, to get up, and I was in the middle of the row, so I would have interrupted everybody. So I just took out my notebook, and I thought, maybe I'll listen, maybe I'll just do some writing and just, you know, tune him out. I'm funny. God is funnier. Within like three words, I knew I was exactly where I was supposed to be, hearing exactly what I needed to hear, because I do struggle with envy. I call it jealousy, but when he started to explain what envy was, I realized not only do I suffer from it, but it's more dangerous to my soul than I ever imagined. So envy, if I remember I won't get it exactly because I don't have the note in front of me, but I remember him saying, or how I remembered it was, I'll just get to it, Allison. I know I'm babbling. So was that not that, so seeing that somebody got something that you wanted, a job, a promotion, a car, a place on the team, an opportunity of one sort or another, and thinking to yourself with a very deep wrench in your gut, why did they get that? Why did they get that? I could have done that better. I'm definitely more qualified. Why doesn't that happen to me? And not just wanting it to happen to you, but here's where he really got me, is I don't want it to happen to them. I'm like gut-wrenched that it happened to them. Why did they get that opportunity? In some cases, I was thinking they don't deserve it. In other cases, I was thinking, but why didn't I get it first? Like, oh, sure, they can have it when I'm done. Like, why wasn't I selected? Why didn't somebody see that? Why didn't somebody see that in me? And why wasn't I given that opportunity? In the list, so at the end of that, I went to adoration and I made a list of all the people. I'm sorry, I went to confession, not adoration. I went to confession. It was a really long line. So while I snaked through the line, they actually just wanted to have you sit and you kind of move down a pew and you ask your way back, like snake your way down to win. So I decided to make a list while I was sitting there of all the people that I possibly could be envious of. I was horrified at the end of how long that list was. Mostly people, I've got to be completely honest, mostly people who are in Catholic ministry and who have gotten these incredible opportunities. And this was, of course, this was 2 or 3 years ago. I was giving opportunities then, but, you know, the Lord has definitely multiplied them since then. But at that point, I felt very dejected and not that he was blessing my desires to serve him. And now I understand why, because a heart filled with pride and envy is certainly not in the right place to be disposed to be serving the Lord and bringing him glory. I was definitely false pride and insecure and in a dark place that wasn't going to help definitely bring him any glory. So I started to pray, went to confession, confessed all of them. And I started to pray for the Lord to heal me of this envy, heal me of this desire. And it was actually this reading this chapter on chapter 8, the Temple Mount, the knots of envy and pride. It was actually in reading this that one, I realized that there was still some work to be done in my envy and pride, but that the Lord had done a great number of things in my heart. First and foremost, if you have a vice that you struggle with, my pastor always says, don't focus on the vice, but focus on the virtue. Every vice has an opposite virtue. If you want to know more about virtues, can I just direct your attention to virginialeto.com, L-I-E-T-O. I'll have the link for you. Virginia is so great at understanding the virtues and in sharing them on her blog and in her writing. She has that children's book that's got faith on it. It's a little face of patience and faith on it. I will have the link there. Sorry, Virginia, like just went completely out of my head, but one of the things that Virginia said to me this week as I was talking about money on my blog was to read her stuff about contentment. And I understand that these are so closely related. I am not content in my circumstances and in my life. And therefore, I am more envious and more ready to be envious of those who are blessed with opportunity. But what I realized, back to this virtue vice thing, is that the virtue that's opposite of envy is admiration, and sincere admiration. And when I was praying the rosary after reading this chapter, I was like, oh my gosh, the Lord has given me the most incredible way of answering this prayer to be rid of envy. When I realized that the inspiration he gave me for a seeking heart for when I was asked to do this radio show, what was my theme going to be? What was my format going to be? As I sat in prayer, I knew it had to be about Catholic books. I just knew this is what I wanted to talk about. My love for Bible study and small group and all book club, all of that, and how that had played such a huge role in my own conversion. That when I hadn't realized is then my show, my whole entire show is sharing the wonderful work of other people. I am constantly sharing my admiration of these authors and bloggers and podcasters and just people of God and getting to know them on a more personal level and realizing they're just people like you and I who struggle with vice of their own and faith, and they have doubts and fears and hopes and dreams and knots of their own. And you don't realize that when you're sitting in your own little world, kind of just stewing that things aren't happening the way you want them and your timing. And when you see other people that are being blessed, you think, oh, God's forgotten me and he's not blessing me. But yet when you, I guess, but for me, when I prayed this, when I spent time in reflection and thought about what God had done, I realized, oh my goodness, he was healing me and helping me to move beyond my my fears and my doubts, and to know that in his timing, he will do what he needs to do for his glory, not for mine. But he's such a generous and loving God that he certainly has blessed me immeasurable. And maybe you can find that same thing in your life. Maybe there's somebody that you're envious of. You know, the it could be, there's so many things that we can be envious of. People's families, like they have children and you don't, or they got the promotion you wanted, their house, like, you know, you don't know how people get what they have. You don't know what sacrifices they've had. You know, there was one person I was very envious of, her gorgeous house, until I found out that she got the beautiful house because she inherited it from her father who had died. Well, I know for a fact she would have preferred to have her dad around than this big, beautiful house. So her sorrow at this thing that I so envied, she would have easily given up in a heartbeat to have back her parents. So you don't know what are in people's hearts. And that's one of the things that the Lord has taught me, especially through meditating upon the teachings here again in this book, Our Lady Undoer Knots, A Living Novena. And one of the stories she tells is the prophet Nathan. He helped King David understand envy by telling him a story about a poor man who had only one lamb and treated it like his own daughter. There was a rich man who, despite his large flock, envied the poor man and ended up stealing his lamb. Envy can lead us to other sins. In fact, St. John Chrysostom said in one of his homilies that through the devil's envy, death entered the world. St. Augustine taught that envy gives way to hatred, detraction, calumny, joy over others' misfortune, and displeasure at his prosperity. Oh, that's where I was. And there's days that I'm still there and I have to fight against this. The devil wants your soul and he will use whatever weakness he can to just derail you from your journey to heaven. And we need to be very on guard. And I love about this book, the knots that can tie us up so tangled that we can't even see our way out. We don't even realize we're entangled in. And here the envy is truly a danger, a huge danger. And I'm so glad that Marge addressed it in her book and did it in such a beautiful way. We're running out of time, but I just want to read this to you. Envy and pride contrive knots that bind us to our own sinfulness, Marge writes here in Our Lady Undoer of Knots, and separate us from others. They can even separate us from God, a tiny seed of resentment that can grow into an insurmountable chasm of hatred. Each of these tiny seeds must be recognized, weeded out, and replaced with the gentle virtues of humility and contentment. Now, coincidence, I wrote about contentment before I went back and reviewed the chapter. So again, right on, go to virginialito.com, read her stuff about contentment. Think about who you envy and why. Get to the root of it. Ask the Lord for that virtue of admiring them and recognizing them with his eyes, seeing their hearts, because you can't look at a person's heart and still hold hatred or envy for them, because at every heart, there's a story that only God can reveal. Tomorrow, join me as Marge Finnellan, the author of Our Lady Undoer Knots, is here live, 10 a.m. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.